The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's lift our hands and let's just bless the Lord this evening. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Kapawa is better. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Can you shout a loud amen? Amen. Be glad to be here this evening. Praise God. Let's have your seats. We'll go right into the word. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have our partners conference. Hallelujah. I'll continue in the line of what I've been teaching, but we're going to have a partners conference tomorrow. So, and that will be in the morning. It will run together with the program. Amen. And we'll be so blessed. Amen. One of the meetings, one of the reasons partners conferences are things you should look forward to is that it reminds us of the privilege, the opportunity it is to partner with God and the blessings that come with that and all of that. But that will be tomorrow. But because of where we are, or the subject we are studying, we'll begin to, you know, go in that light a little this evening. Amen. So we'll be looking at what? Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. And already, if you've been paying attention, you must have already learned a lot. You must have heard a lot. This kind of teachings, they say many things to many people. Many things to many people. You know, all the things that were emphasized in the day, even from yesterday, is the fact that the seed is the word of God. The word of God is the seed. The word of God is the seed. And I showed you earlier that there are other things, you know, referred to as seed in the Bible. But the most prominent and the most repetitive of them, the one that appeared the most, is that the fact that the word of God is seed. Right? And when God gives you his word, he has given you something that can create. Because I told you earlier that a seed carries in it a creative ability. It carries in it a creative ability. So we're looking since yesterday how to, you know, create, you know, how to take the seed of the word of God and make sure we have a harvest. If you are not here in the morning, right, I already put that on my status, make sure that you get that teaching, right, as well as following online. Get that teaching. That teaching in the morning from yesterday, that was a classic teaching. And you agree with me. Hallelujah. You will get it. So that, you know, because we got to the point where we're talking about the harvest. Not everybody knows how to prepare for their harvest. Not everybody even knows how God does these things. Are you following me? So you must realize that when God gives you a word, that word is a seed. When you read the Bible, it's a seed. But the problem is, we can all have seed and not have plants. We can all have seed and not have trees. Because not many people know how to interact with the seed. For instance, we say that before a seed we produce, it has to be sown. So like I said yesterday, it is not the presence of seed that guarantees harvest. It is seed sown. Right? It is when you sow the seed. So many of us don't know how to sow the seed of the word of God. And we're looking at that since yesterday. And I showed you that where you sow the word is where? Your heart. Your heart is the soil where you sow the word. I must know how to sow it. And in the morning, we're looking at how to protect that seed. when you sow the word, how do you protect it? And later we're looking at how to nurture that seed. How to protect and nurture that seed so that it can produce results. You see, if God wants to make you a billionaire, talk about money for instance, the first thing he's going to give you is a seed. The seed of his word. In that word, the capacity to become whatever you want is there. But you've got to learn how to sow the seed and how to protect the seed, how to nurture the seed until it becomes what you want it to be. And not many people know how to do that, sadly. Not many Christians. For instance, I always give this example. It's a new year, and we've already received all the word for the year. It's our year of this. It's our year of this. All those things are God's spoken words. We know what those things are. Those things are seeds. And if you know how to sow those seeds, and how to protect those seeds, and how to nurture those seeds, you eventually have the harvest. But not many people know how to do that. In the day, we are looking at the fact that, for instance, you have to protect the seed against the devil. And I showed you what the devil comes to do when the seed of God's word is sown. One of the things the devil tries to do, and a major thing, is that the devil wants to block your understanding, such that you don't even understand what God is trying to say. And once he blocks that understanding, he will produce his greatest weapon, and that's unbelief. Because whatever you don't understand, you cannot even believe. Because faith is a function of knowledge. Remember this in the morning? It's a function of knowledge. So many people now, the Lord has told them this and that. For instance, talk of the truth about maybe healing. If you do not basically understand how healing functions, the provisions of healing in God's word, you will not have it. No matter what you do. Because the devil has taken it off at that point of understanding. So you're not going to have it. So there is that fight, that, which is one of the ways to deal with that particular case, for instance, is to pay attention. Learn to pay attention. I also said you learn to pray for revelation. And we're also looking at other things like, what other things can block the word? Persecution and tribulation. There are things that come against the word. And the Bible says there are persecutions and tribulations that arise because of the word. So I give an example. God gives you a word that you are going to. He's about divine healing. You search in the Bible, you're excited, you even rejoice about it. And then the next minute, you get home, you are diagnosed of whatever pain. What is happening? Those things are arising because of that word you are contending with. I'll give an example. You know, God can give you a promise about financial prosperity. And you are so excited that you're about to become a billionaire. And then you get home, the remaining 1,000 you have, they thief it. They thief the remaining 1,000 that is in your hand. Are you following the point? And even the guy you used to drink and manage is no longer there. Now, what will happen is that whatever the tribulation and challenges that are coming against that word that you've received. And the Bible tells us why those tribulations eventually win, if they win. He said, because the guy had no roots in him. So it's really not because the challenges were too much, it's because the person had no roots in him. Are you what I'm saying now? So I told you that we have to deal with such issues is to allow the word of God take root in you. Let God's word take. Don't just hear a thing and run off with it. Don't just hear people teach on righteousness by faith and say, oh, I get it. You don't get it. You have to sit on it until it takes root. That way, when challenges come and stuff come because of that, you can resist it. There are people that think they know about divine healing. But they don't know it until they are diagnosed with a sickness that is incurable. They don't know it. What is happening? They've heard about divine healing, but that truth of divine healing has not taken root in their hearts. I feel what I'm saying now. They've heard of it. They can even explain it to you. They can even explain it to someone. They can even lay hands on the sick. But it has not taken root in their heart. So when challenges come in that direction, the Bible says, it's like that seed that fell on the stony ground. It falls away. It falls off. Another one of the things you must pay attention to is to let God's word take root. How did Paul put it in Colossians 3 verse 16? He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you. How? Richly. Richly. And the key word in that verse, I always tell you, is the word let. Let means it's something you allow by yourself. It will be automatic. You must allow God's word dwell richly in you. So, when you hear, I gave an example. Over 10 years ago, I started studying the truths about new creation realities, righteousness by faith, forgiveness of sins, and all of that. Till today, even till last week, I was still studying materials in the light of that. Because what I'm doing is I'm allowing the word to take root inside of you. That's why I've come to a point, and I keep getting to that point where no matter what happens on the outside, it cannot fight what I already know on my inside. So there are things that, you know, come against the word of God. Challenges will come. But the challenges will not win because challenges are too much. The challenges will win because the word you receive has no root in you. You saw that very clearly in the parable of the sower. Jesus said the reason why the tribulations were able to choke, to deal with the word, was because that word, there was no root. And of course, the next we saw, for instance, the seed that fell on thorny ground. We're looking at that earlier. And Bible, Jesus refers to those thorns as the cares of this world. Not sin. The cares, the concerns, the pleasure, the things that have to do with the world, this world. So what the devil tries to do with those things is to distract. That's another thing you must fight when God gives you a word. Distractions. It takes you away from the world. You leave this place. God has promised you this and that. You leave this place and life gets busy. Let me give you the example I gave you just to refresh your mind. I gave an example. Imagine you plant corn. And what have you? And then you never remember, you didn't remember to go there, to water it, to weed it, and all of that. After 2 months, you don't remember, you see, I planted corn some time ago. You get the point? You have been distracted from focusing on the seed. And so when we sow God's word in our hearts, there is a way to protect and a way to nurture it. To take time to nurture it. To take time to nurture it. You don't get distracted. Life can get so demanding that you even forget that you have to contend and fight with over fight, you know, using the promises that God has given you. You even forget that you are believing God for something. And anything you're not actively believing God for, you're not believing God for it. I'll say that again. Anything you're not actively believing God is not a passive thing. People say, I'm just believing God for this. No, it's not a passive thing. Anything you do not actively. Because I say this joking a lot of the time. People come to me and I say, and they tell me that in faith. I don't know what they mean. This is that I've been believing God for this. I say, okay, so how have you been believing God for it? I've been believing God now. So what have you been doing to believe God? We've been believing God. If you're not actively believing God for something, actively speaking the word, actively taking faith actions, you're not believing God for it. So the devil tries to distract you. Jesus refers to that as the tongues that will choke the word. Those distractions will choke that word. There will be no results. So you must learn how to nurture the word. We're looking at things like understanding. Why are you here in the morning? Things like understanding helps you nurture the word. The more light you have, the better the results that will follow. The more light, so you gain more understanding in the word and all those other things that we were teaching in the morning. And we closed at the point where we're talking about, you know, the harvest. And how that, one thing people don't know about harvest is that harvest comes gradually. Do you remember that? You know, things develop gradually. The Bible tells us, talking about the harvest, he says it is first the blade, then the ear. So many people don't know, you know, they've prayed over something, they're trusting God for maybe financial breakthrough, maybe healing or something. Or God has promised you're going to walk in divine health. You're believing God for release of faith for that. And then after you finish praying, just wake up and find out that this pain in my leg has disappeared. You don't say, hallelujah, and then you now stop believing God. You stop at the point of maybe the blade or the ear. Right? There is need for you to go further. And yes, celebrate what has happened, but don't stop until you get what God has promised. I gave an example in morning with this building. All of us prayed for this building, but then the moment we began to use this place, many people felt, it's done, but it's not done. You know why it's not done? Because this is not what God promised us. So we're still in the process. I get what I'm saying. So there is need that when the harvest begins to show up gradually, you don't pack up and say, at least, at all, not be winch. You know that kind of thing. At all, not winch. Nah, at least, let me just, don't do that. Celebrate what God is doing, but keep going. Are you following what I'm saying now? Keep believing God. Actively. Some of us have even stopped giving towards the project because at least we're already here. But that's how many of us treat our personal pursuit of God's promise to us. We just begin to see small, whatever, and I say, I thank God, at least we can manage. Don't do that.
When those things begin to show, when the blade shows up, thank God, it shows that something is coming, but it has not yet come. Are you following the point? You must learn how to keep nurturing. Just like when you plant your maize, and you come out one day, it's already springing up. You don't say, oh, hallelujah, we are done. No, it calls for more nurturing of that seed. And then one day, you find out that the fruits are shooting up gradually. You say, okay, I'm making progress. But then you don't stop. You keep weeding. You keep preparing the place until it is fully ready. I feel what I'm talking about. So then you go and take the harvest. And one of the instructions God gave us in the morning is the fact that when they are taking of harvest, don't think of how it will happen. Did you hear that in the morning? You see, that's what the Bible said in Mark chapter 4. He said, when you put a seed in the ground, Bible said it springs forth. He said, you don't know how it will happen. And that's the thing. Don't bother yourself about how God's word will be fulfilled. Your assignment is just to act on the word. Plant the seed. Nurture the seed. Forget how it will happen. It's the Holy Ghost that makes it happen. Are you following me now? Just plant the seed. Don't say, how can all this confess the word? Keep saying it. How will it change somebody's finance? Don't break your head about that. Just sow the seed and water it. I'm saying that I've not eaten. You are telling me, how will all these things I'm saying now, you are saying, help me. Just so you see, Mary asked the angel, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? The angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the Most High shall overshadow you. When I was Mary, all you need to do is just accept what I'm saying. Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. Are you following what I'm saying now? Leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. Now I see people tell me, people come to me in ministry, our ministry, and they ask questions. How are you able to do this? How are you able to? I say, these are the principles. They say, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense. It's just the truth. Yours is to act on the word, sow the seed, nurture the seed, and let the rest be to God. Let it grow. Don't break your head. He said, look at that. He said, give me an end of this verse. Please watch. Mark 4 verse 27. I'm just refreshing your mind of what we did in the morning. He just said, he knows not. He said, night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. And that's a fact. He doesn't understand how it happens. How does it happen? Because apart from the fact that I went to study agriculture in school, you can't explain what happens under the earth. Yours is just to plant and make sure you're watering it. Be rest assured, one day it's going to sprout. So don't break your head. I don't understand how all this speaking the word, confessing the word, is going to change my marriage. Just start doing it. Yours is to ask in obedience to God's word. You may not understand how it happens. Are you following what I'm saying? Get that morning teaching. It's going to bless you. It's going to bless you tremendously. Because, but how does this happen? So, I gave an example in the day, how a minister went to meet Bishop Edeko and asked him questions about church group, about things are not working, nothing is working. And Bishop said, just the word, go for it. And the guy got angry. He said he went there repeatedly, and the Bishop kept saying the same thing, just the word, get the word, it's the word. So, it was just peace. Which one is the word? You don't want to tell me what you are doing that is working. You know why he was talking like that? He cannot connect how all these things can translate to something in the physical. But eventually he did. Where Kenneth Copeland said that how his finances changed was that he went to Brother Hagin's ministry and packed all the tapes and all the books that were there and began to read it. He was like, how can reading all these pages save somebody's finances? You don't know how it will happen. Your own is to sow the word. Are you following me, everybody? Once you are making those word investments, leave the rest for the Holy Ghost. He said, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. And I need to say, he doesn't even need to understand it. That's not about principles. Once you obey it, it's going to give you the results you need. Amen. And that was what we did in the morning. A lot more was said earlier. That teaching was about 2 to 3 hours, have we? How many hours? Just about 3 hours or so. Not that much. What did you think it was? You felt it was 6-7 hours. It was 3 hours. It wasn't long. Amen. Amen. Very soon we are going to tidy up this place. Once we do that, our ACs are sealed. We've not brought our ACs in. Once we do that, bring our ACs in and make it as cozy as we want it to be. You don't know what is coming for you. I'm at 60 for 8 hours. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Don't keep you here for like about 7 to 8 hours. The age will be blowing on your head. You can't even stand up to get in here because it's closed. Tomorrow I'm going to share some things with you. See behind there, what plans we have behind there. I told you we're going to put a hall there. But you know, the Lord keeps expanding that vision in my eyes. Amen. So we're going to put a two-story building up there. The ground floor will be the children's church. Right, the children's church. The second floor will be, that's what I'm talking about, that's what I'm saying now. Will be a small conference room that can take about 100 persons or so. Do you understand? Fully air conditioned. So that when I pick it, just few of you, and take you in there, and lock it up, you'll come out a brand new man. And the last floor, that's the one on top, will be just a few rooms for personal retreats. Do you like that one? Yes, a personal retreat, just one or two rooms. That if you want to come and wait upon the Lord, you can come. Fully air conditioned too. You know how we do our things. Fully air conditioned. So the vision is big. Amen. What led me to that is that when we do it, because we cannot spend money and all of this and you will not pay the price. You will suffer for it. Hallelujah. But you know, for real, one of the reasons why I believe that a church should be able to be fine and comfortable is because the church is a classroom. I get the point. And teachings go on for long and should go on for long. So we should make them as comfortable as possible so that people can at least sit down and, you know, for just a couple of hours. Say amen. So when we do our prayer drive and we pray for 6 hours, I think that's where we stopped last year, B. Where did we stop last year? 6 hours. You want to lie to me? We started with 4 hours. We closed at 6 hours. So by the end of the day, we're praying 6 hours every month. So this year, who knows? Now, when we take it to like 8 hour stretch or 10 hour stretch, the atmosphere will be so cool. You will not sweat. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No, that's the joy of having your own things. You know, having your own things, you can turn it whatever you want to turn it. You understand? Yeah. Turn whatever you want to turn it. And God be praised. So today, I'm still talking about scatter my harvest. But, you know, I corrected something I said earlier, and I'm going to dwell on that. Earlier I said, yesterday I told you that money is seed. Remember that? But earlier in the morning I said you should correct that. I said you replace it with what? Giving. So I won't talk about that. The fact that, you know, giving, I'm talking about it's not really, I'll come more from a corrective perspective. There's a lot that's been done with giving as seed. So, and I'm going to correct some of those so you understand it. There are different extremes to this. There are some who are one extreme, saying there's nothing like giving, there's nothing like seed. You don't say you want to give and you're calling it seed. They're even against giving totally. There's another extreme who are just all about seed or give. I sold the seed. I want to get a car, so I sold another car. I want to get shoe, so I sold my shoe. If I want to get a financial, I sold my older shoe. I want to correct, look at all of those things today. I get to the point. So I understand how seed works in the kingdom of God. Because if you don't understand it, that's the first thing the devil fights. Remember that? First thing he fights is understanding. So let's look at the scriptures today. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Are you ready? Are you ready for the word? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1. So because of our time, I'm going to have us read it with New Living Translation. So open it to your own Bible with your own translation. But I'll be reading from here with New Living Translation. Normally what I do, I read with King James first, then I go to NLT. But for now, let's start with NLT. Is that okay?
He said, I really don't need to write to you about this or this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem. For I know how eager you are to help. And I've been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece, we are ready to send an offering a year ago. He said, in fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. He said, but I am sending these brothers to be sure you really are ready, as I've been telling them, and that your money is all collected. So you notice what's happening here. They made promises that they were going to give. So Paul said, I want to send people ahead of them to make sure that your money is all collected. Are you still here? Okay, he said, I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you. We will be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if some Macedonian believers came with me and found that you weren't ready after I told them. He was telling them, you know, I've told these guys that you guys have given, you know, you guys have made promises. It will be a shame that when we come there, they find out that it is a lie. Do you understand? So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift and not one giving grudgingly. Now he's about to teach about giving and seed sowing and all of that. So you pay attention. We're going to come to all of this later. He said, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds, we get a small crop. So whenever people say you cannot call giving sowing, Paul is very clear with that here. He's talking about giving and he's calling it planting. I feel I'm talking about. So giving is actually sowing. Look at that very clearly. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds, we get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. So the context is money, giving money. And Paul refers to it as seed. Is it very clear to all of us? Now, look at what he says. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. He said, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. He said, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor, and their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. He said, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of our ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers, we prove that you're obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace of God. The grace God has given you. He said, thank God for these gifts, too wonderful for words. So clearly, I want to explain this. I'll come to it much later. But clearly we see that Paul, in many ways, refers to your giving as a seed. I get the point. So giving can be called seed. It can be seed. So there is such a thing as sowing money. Are you following me? That's it as sowing things. Money, properties, you can sow those things. But what I'm trying to show you today is that it must be done right. It must be done right. So that you don't mess things up and begin to complain. I get to the point. Philippians 4 verse 17, let's look at that again. Just to prove again that you can refer to giving as sowing. So money can be a seed. Giving can be a seed. Philippians 4 verse 17. If I let's start from 15. He said, as you know, you Philippians, you are the only ones who gave me financial help. What kind of help? Talk to me now. When I first brought you the good news, and they traveled on from Macedonia, he said, no other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. Now, verse 17, he said, I don't say this because I want a gift from you, but rather I want you to receive what? A reward for your kindness. King James puts it that I want you to give me King James. He said, I desire that what? Fruit may abound to your account. Why does he call what they will receive fruit? Because what they gave is a seed. I follow the point. Because there has to be seed for us to have fruit. So you will not be wrong to refer to your giving as seed.
Now, the challenge with the body of Christ have always been that when we want to correct a teaching, we want to correct one extreme, we always drive to another extreme. And that's something that is wrong. We'll drive to another extreme. Somebody wants to correct the teaching of legalism, where people say things like, you know, God relates with you based on your works. And then he drives to another extreme where he begins to say, whatever you do doesn't matter. I can see the point. That's an extreme. Another person wants to correct the teaching of licentious. People say you can do anything and God accepts you that way, and no matter what you do, it doesn't matter. He now gets to another extreme where he begins to say, anything you do, God is coming for you. You know that kind of teaching. Both of you are wrong. The balance, however, is that God has accepted us. And he has accepted us based on his grace and not our works. However, our works will now be a product of the life that he has put in us. Because he saved us unto good works. I feel what I'm saying. That's something we do with this giving thing. There's an extreme. People who say, I don't believe in all this giving thing. People are, pastors are stealing our money and all of that. It's nonsense. There's nothing like sowing. If you want to be rich, go and work hard. If you don't work hard, nothing is coming for you. That's a dangerous extreme. Because you are pushing to a point where you're going to start saying that God doesn't provide for people. That's where you're going to. Then there's another extreme where people say, whether you work hard or not, to all you have to do, just give a seed. Once you give a seed, go sleep. You might sleep and not wake up. You just die from there. Because you say, what will kill you? Hunger. Hunger will just sleep and not wake up. So we must be able to bring a balance to these things. Another story we can check, for instance, in the Old Testament is 1 Kings 17. Now we look at the story from verse 10, the story of Elijah. How Elijah was sent to a certain woman. 1 Kings 17, from verse 10. What Elijah said, Elijah was sent to a certain woman, the woman of Zarephath. And the woman, you know, was broke when Elijah got there. And Elijah told her to make bread for her. And she made that bread for Elijah with the last thing she had. And then after the Bible says she never lacked, floor never finished. There was always food. That's a clear example of when somebody gives something and got something in return. I feel what I'm saying. There are many other examples I can give you. However, you must first understand what this seed sowing does not mean. I can give you some examples. Seed sowing is not an attempt to bribe God into accepting you. But I'm just going to, you know, even though it's sometimes I see people go to the extreme. As extreme as people get into Yahoo, make money, and bring it to church. And the moment you give it to church, you accept it. You and the pastor that teaches you that, both of you are not feeling fine. Both you that believe and the pastor teaching that. That you can just do whatever and then you bring the money and go and give to church. And pastor will say, okay, since at all. Yes. I heard somebody was talking about how he met some hookup girls. You know who are hookup girls? I don't know the generation of people who listen to this message. Hookup girls is not a job description. People who sell their body for money in an advanced way. He said he met them and they were having a conversation. How that what they do that at the end of every month, they take their tithes to God and to the pastor. That if there is any evil spirit they contacted in the process. And there is a pastor that receives that and lays us on them, knowing fully well what they do. He said, I'm sowing seed. So my own is anything I do, I'll just sow seed. Someone is just stealing your money and fooling you. It's not an attempt to bribe God. They can just do. People even care that it's in different churches. You can find someone who is unserious in church But wants us to give him some sort of special treatment. Because when at the end of every month, he brings money. That's nonsense. God's standard will never change. It will never change. How to be relevant in the house of God will forever remain commitment, soul winning, and all of that. And no money. Are you following, Boris? Your giving should just be an expression of your commitment. And not a replacement of your commitment. So don't attempt to bribe God into accepting you. Seed sowing is not giving to get. That's not seed sowing. Say, I'm going to give God 10,000 naira so that he will just give me 100,000. This is not Ponzi scheme. God is not doing money doubling. Well, if you are broke, just bring something. He will run out for you. Is someone still here this evening? That's not seed sowing. That's not seed sowing. So I'm trusting God for 10 million, right? You have 1 million. Bring it. I know if I start doing that, many people, I don't know whether you want to fall for this, but I've taught you too much. I'll look for another audience. I won't use you because you will. So you want to make it, yes, you have 1 million. He said, what would you rather that you have 1 million, that I have 10 million? He says, I need 10 million. He said, bring the 1 million. Such kind of preaching makes people rich. The person who makes rich is the receiver. You didn't get that. Only the pastor gets rich from that kind of thing. If I start that now, I'll blow. Excuse me. If you know what is happening, buy different cars. Amen. Say, you don't like the phone you're using? Say yes. Give it to me. Once you give it to me, there is a God in heaven. As they are giving it to me, attach the kind of phone you want. Who is bringing his phone up here? Don't bring that rubbish. Don't. I need something serious. Keep that nonsense you are using. Even sometimes the way we even do it, you know, these things can get to an extreme. I talked about bribing God. Many years ago, we did a meeting and we asked people to write prayer points. I don't do that again. It's not God listening to do that. And put it in an envelope and bring. Now, we didn't say add money. Write prayer points. And when we are opening the prayer points, because I don't believe in writing prayer points and not praying it. So if we say write prayer points and burn it, I don't believe in that. You pray it. Are you following me? So we say write prayer points. So the guy open this particular prayer points. And this guy wrote, Father, excuse me, kill people, terrorize my family. He gave God a list. Over 7 people. People that God should keep for him. Now, the one that made me laugh, he wrote and got a particular name. And wrote the person's name and opened up a bracket and said, I don't know if he's among. I'm not sure. But if he's among, kill him. If he's not among, spare him. Now, he was specific. Now, what made me laugh was that when he finished, he added like 15 naira between 20 naira. So I got angry. I was like, what kind of, even if God is a hired assassin, 20 naira is even too small to hire him for that kind of mass destruction. That's not what we do. So you think that God will just see you. You see, we have not moved on from African traditional religion. We are still there. Where somebody will come to the middle of the road, dip 10 naira and egg and biscuits and Fanta. And write list to take their lives. That's not sowing. That's not the concept of seed sowing found in God's word. It's not an attempt to bribe God. It's not just giving because you want to get. So every time I'm broke, I'll say, oh, let me just go and give. And if I begin to preach that, like I said, we do so well. Say, how many of you have, you need money? Every time you need money, every time you are in lack, it's because you've not given. And you can see the people say, well, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that doctrine. No, you don't know how far wrong doctrine can get. I told you guys of a story of a woman I overheard praying at a retreat center, doing a meeting there, and she was praying on her own, and I was hearing her prayer points. I was asking the Lord to intervene for her family. And all she was doing in that prayer is, Lord, what have I not done? Have I not given my tithe? I'm telling you. I've given my first fruit. I've given my love offering. I've given my seed offering. I've given my firstborn offering. What else is left for me to give, Lord? And that's the concept of seed sowing we preach. Now you see why you're suffering. You know, have you given your firstborn offering? Some of you have you've ever heard of that, have you? Shows you're in a good church. Praise God. There's something I've not seen. I've seen give $91 for the blessing of Psalm 91. That's creative. Not 91 naira. I'm looking at the early naira. $91. Yes. And that's not what seed sowing is. With due respect to whoever practiced that or announced that is totally wrong. The person that actually I heard this from is a big man of God. I respect so much, but that is still wrong. Still very wrong. Something like that. That's not seed sowing. It's not an attempt to manipulate God into whatever you want to make him. It's not just giving because you want to get. So imagine, give 23,000 for the blessing of Psalm 23. Do you understand? If actually I was that kind of pastor, I would preach a lot from Psalm 150. Well, that's the highest I'll be. $150 for the blessing of Psalm 150. Now, what does Psalm 150 say? Anything he said? That's not it, my friend. There is giving, and you can call giving seed, but that is not it. It's not also giving under pressure. The Bible is very clear in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, that your giving should never be done under pressure. Never. Let me add one more thing before I proceed. It's not something you do in isolation of other instructions. That's not sincere. This is something you do in isolation. Maybe you are not praying, you are not fasting, you are not studying your Bible, but you just want to be sowing seed. It's not something you pray. I've told you, even what we call faith, I explained this last year at this immersion. What you call faith is not something you practice in isolation. Some people, they don't pray anymore. The only thing they do is, oh, all things are mine. Nothing is yours. You don't practice faith in isolation. There are other instructions. Some people don't pray. Some don't. You don't walk in love. You don't pray. You don't even study scriptures. They just say, no, it's mine. You don't practice faith in isolation. Same thing with seed sowing. It's not a magic wand that all you need to do is sow a seed. Ignore what that thing in the Bible has to say. Just sow a seed and you'll be fine. That's wrong. Are you following me? I know what I'm preaching. I'm going to offend a lot of people with this message. But it's okay. Amen. If you're offended, it means you're learning it. You know, there are many things you first get offended at before you learn it. So it starts with offense. I used to hear. So it's not something you practice in isolation. Because it's lack of these things. That's why false prophets thrive with things like this. These days, people even sell things. Sell things. In the name of sowing seed, sell things. Sell handkerchief. Miracle shoe. Miracle stone. Miracle salt. Miracle dust. I see a man of God that literally sold money. Literally, he brought some bundles. Like, about 1,000 naira bundle. And he said, he has prayed over this money. Each of them represents whatever. Once you keep it to your house, you will never lack. Don't spend it, just keep it in your house. But to get it, you have to come with a seed. Do you get it now? So come with a seed of 1 million to get 1,000 that will produce more than 1 million. And then you would have thought people will not respond. The line will be here. Very long. Now, let me say this to you. In every religion, there is the principle of giving and receiving. You get the point? Even in 8 years, you want to see Babalawo, they will ask you for 10 naira or 20 naira or even cow. These days, these Babalawo these days are very expensive. They ask you for cow these days. In every religion, it exists. However, you must not understand Bible sewing with the lens of your religion, of that 8 year. It's not how it works in Islam, it works in our faith. I know what I'm talking about. You cannot say, but you know, in people come to my office to see me. Some people do that. Somebody came and said, I've been wanting to come and see you, but I didn't have anything to bring. I said, okay. Who taught you that one? He said, how can I go and save up for them 300? I said, okay. I said, where did you learn that from? He said, from the Bible. Samuel, Saul said he had nothing to go and see Samuel with. I said, that's a good thing to believe. I said, well, what if you look at it like that? I'm your father. Can you go and see your father empty-handed? He said, yes. I said, okay, don't go and see your prophet. Come and see your father. Because we are still carrying that 8 year mentality. I have a good point. That before you go see Babalawo, you must go with something. At least. The thing about this is that God can give you a miracle without your 1 naira. It's not the same thing with what we do there. It's not the same. You can't understand giving with a mindset of an African traditional worshiper. You can't see giving from his perspective. You can't explain giving using what they do in the occult. This is not the occult. This is the church of the living God. And we take our beliefs from this Bible, not from what you think it makes sense. What you think makes sense. So you go steal money, dupe people, and you say you want to come and build a house for God. So I will start clapping for you. To hell with your money. You and your money perish together. No, perish first, let your money follow. You don't do that. That's not seed sowing. That's not seed sowing. There is seed sowing, there is Bible seed sowing. Are you following what I'm talking about? That is seed sowing. I'm going to show you that we'll show you in the Bible, but it's not all these things. I remember that terrible things people do because of money. And most of those things, I see it as preachers making merchandise of the gospel. Deceiving people. Are you following the point? When I started ministry, and I started preaching this, I've been preaching this thing. This particular one. Since you knew me, I've been on this same point. And somebody told me, said, you're not going to be rich in ministry. Plainly, so you're not going to be rich. And let me not tell you, your church will be very broke. People will never give. Because before you get people to give, you have to shake them up and let them know that. I said that if God will not sponsor his work, he should leave it. I'll go and push barrel. I'll go and open shop at Men Market. I don't believe in all this rubbish. But that proved to be a lie. I'm not broke. Oh. You didn't notice. I'm not broke. Oh. I'm even getting richer. If you hate rich pastors, stay away from me. Because they are talking with one. Say amen. If you like it because I'm driving a Lexus, I'll soon drive a private jet or fly private jet. He said, I like it. I told him I'm driving a Lexus. No, that's not why I'm driving Lexus. Once I have money, I'll drive Lamborghini. I'm just telling you, I'm not in that extreme. I don't believe that pastor should be poor. But that pastor should be rich. I'm the rich. People say not every Christian will be rich. I say yes. I'm the Christian that will be rich. I'm the rich part of the body of Christ. You understand the point? So I'm not preaching poverty here. But I'm saying things should be done the Bible way. I want not a broke church. A church that got this land, that raised this place to this point in less than 3 months is not broke, sir. Less than 20, it's not to 3 months till now. Less than 3 months. We're not broke. We're even getting richer. This year is like times 10. Yeah. God is increasing us, making us bigger and better. How many of you believe that tonight? God is increasing us. He's making us bigger and making us better. So when I said, well, your church is not going to be rich, I don't believe that. I believe that people can be taught. Do you know, in the Old Testament, they had no manipulation. Yet, the sincerity they had was so much that when they were giving for the building of the temple also, when they gave and what they needed for the temple was enough, they met Moses. Was it Moses also? And told Moses, these guys are giving more than what we need. So Moses had to tell them to stop giving. See that sincerity. How many churches will do that today? We'll say, please don't give again. Sure, we need 1 million. It's okay, don't give again. Not many people will do that. But these guys were too sincere. Are you what I'm talking about? Very sincere with the thing. They just wanted the work to be done. When the money was enough, they called and said, please, giving should stop. We have what we need. Not many people have that sincerity. And it tells you that you can have more than enough without manipulating. And if you're a pastor, a minister, you better believe what I'm saying. Teach giving in your ministry. Teach seed sowing. But don't ever attempt to manipulate people. We are doing this thing for the King. Because if you begin to manipulate people to give, you're not different from any thief out there. They have a gun, you have a Bible as your own weapon. So don't take me to any extreme. I'm not saying that, all these persons are rich. I'm very rich. I'm even getting richer. You'll be so shocked. And I believe in enjoying life. Just I will not be telling you I'm enjoying. I'll just know that I'm enjoying it myself. He said, why? Because I don't believe a pastor should be loud about what he has, his personal stuff. Are you following the point? But if you're thinking that I'm not going to be fine, I'll be fine. Very, very rich. And our church, my God. Talk about wealth. It's only getting better and better and better. Think of the age bracket of people that are here. And think of what we've been able to achieve. This is the youth church of some churches. Are you aware? Look at age bracket. And so we've been able to achieve without any external help, no happy phone card, no writing of letter to people who say, come and support our vision. It tells that God is prospering our people. Whatever we're teaching here is working. It doesn't have to be manipulative. Are you following the point? You don't have to tell people that when you need a new shoe, sew your shoe. I promise if you give me that shoe, you'll never lack shoe in your life. You might trek, barefooted. But that is Bible giving. Have your seat, please. That is Bible giving. That is seed sowing according to God's word. Now, the first thing you must note is that this Bible giving or Bible seed sowing, whatever you call it, it must have the right attitude. Now, let me say this to you. Every place you see the Bible talk about giving. Now, this is very important. And the blessing of giving. If you pay close attention, you'll find out that the Bible is not promising a blessing on money. It's promising a blessing on the attitude. Now, pay attention to this. I'll give an example. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. He said, God loves, I'm coming to that shortly, a cheerful giver. So the emphasis is on cheerfulness as an attitude. Are you following the point now? So that's why that woman gave the widow's mite. You know that widow's mite story? I just don't say she gave the highest. Why? She had an attitude called generosity. Generosity is being able to give big from whatever you have. So the blessing in seed sowing is mostly in the attitude. I get the point. And it's very important. The attitude, not about the cash. Of course, when the right attitude is there, the giving will be big. But the major thing, if you read, we just read 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you have time, come down and study that whole 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's talking about attitude. You hear things about willingness. You hear things about cheerfulness. You hear things of not, don't give reluctantly. Don't give other pressure. He's addressing the attitude you bring to the giving. Because that's where the blessing is. That's why, for instance, 2 Corinthians 9, every man according to his purpose in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly. So if you're already giving grudgingly, you're giving the wrong attitude, even if you give 10 million. I get the point. In instead of necessity, NLT says, not in response to pressure. So you can't give reluctantly in response to pressure. So there is an attitude that God desires that we need to bring. We want to bring a seed to God's house. The first of that I'm going to address tonight is willingness. Willingness. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. Let's read it together, everybody. Are you there? Are you here? 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12. I wait for you to get it in your Bible. It's on the screen, but then get it in your Bible so that we can read together. I learn in the word. We're going to sow seeds. We're going to have bountiful harvest. This year is for breaking forth. Do you still remember that we're breaking forth by the Spirit? 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12. Are you there now? Let's read together, everybody. For if there be first a willing mind, go to verse 11. Start with NLT. Because I've told you back in yesterday morning. NLT said, now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. He said, give in proportion to what you have. Now see the next verse. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. So the focus is on the attitude of willingness, eagerness to do it. Are you following the point? That was the eagerness. He said, and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Rather, sometime ago I was teaching, I told you, I don't believe that people should borrow to give. I don't believe in it. Secondly, I don't believe that people should give what does not belong to them. Don't tell somebody spin and give. That's stealing. So what if I don't have, I don't want to give? Do what the little book of Acts. What did they do? They sold their things and they gave. That's what is more scriptural. Not borrowing and stealing. And taking money somebody told you to keep. I'm talking to you. Also, pastors who don't mind. Of course, I will still come to instructions much later. Apart from instructions, where you are sure the Lord spoke to you, I don't encourage people giving their school fees that they did not make by themselves. Your parents gave you your school fees and you want to give it, except instructions. I give an example. One of our sisters here, when we were in Abu, and she that's the blessing, yes. We're having a meeting, we're planning a program. So I had to call her and I said, you know that I'm not forging stories. We're planning a program. We're about 4 or 5 in the room. Planning a big program. You know, I've always had big eyes. You've observed? I've never thought according to my level. I've told you, stop hanging your coats. I've stopped cutting your coat according to your size. Cut big coats. That's the way you wait to start growing fat inside. Stop hanging your clothes where your hand can reach. Hang it high. Buy a ladder. And climb on top. So apply the big program. Now, this I'm telling you is a very big secret I won't keep to. I don't accept. God doesn't give you things to do that are in your level. Because if God tells you to do what is your level, your might and strength can accomplish. You don't need him. I get the point. Yes. If you can actually walk to that place, there's no point in God telling you to walk there. He will tell you to fly. So when you say, I cannot fly, I say, how can I do it? You say, okay. You know, if the angel had met Mary and said, you know, thus says the Lord, in 2 weeks' time, you get married to Joseph, and then you meet with your husband, and you have a child. Mary will say, yes, obviously. But he said, you have a child without meeting Joseph. He said, what kind of rubbish is this one? We were planning that meeting, and we are calling big, big money. Big then. Like big that time. We are looking for like 200,000 or 300,000. God punish the devil. And Esther Bessie was in a meeting, and she told me she wanted to give. She mentioned one ridiculous figure, 120,000. What do you guys say these days?
As out now.
Because you know the thing is, I'm a pastor and I know my people. Even people here can tell you that there's an amount you send to the church account or you send to me. I invite you to the office. Some of you have invited me. Some people can tell. I just said, come, what's up? Have you started? Now, I trust you. I want to celebrate with you. I want to know what God did for you. You understand? It's not like I not trust you. I really want to know what God did. Because you were drinking curry yesterday. Just we're talking about who are coming. Some parents are the reasons why their children are bad people. Your child leaves the house drinking curry, suffering. You gave him transport. He comes back after 2 weeks with big cars, or after 1 month, and begins to give you money. You are saying, I'm enjoying my sweat, the sweat of my labor, I'll be the labor of my sweat. I'll be, what? The fruit of my sweat. Yeah, the problem of Nigeria. That's what I don't realize. I don't. So when she said, I'm going to give, right, I said, how? So she said she wants to give her school fees. So she said, I told her no. So she insisted, I insisted. She insisted, I insisted. She insisted, I said, I took her out. I told her, please excuse me, we went outside. I said, how do you intend to pay your school fees? She said she just feels that notch. She feels God wants her to do it. And my concern was, Estus, then, if you don't pay your school fees, you will not write the exam. There are no tools about it. You know, there are some schools that you write the exam, and after everything you pay, yes, if you don't pay and generate your exam number, you won't write the exam. So, we dragged, she just said, I believe God. I said, I just felt the Holy Ghost just stop me. I said, leave this girl alone. So there are special cases like that. But apart from that, of course, she gave the money. Of course, the program held. Of course, she got the school before the exam. Say amen. So there are cases like that. But generally, you don't give what doesn't belong to you. I don't believe that a person's school fees belongs. If your mother gives you school fees, it's not your money, it's for school fees. So you give what you have. That's what the Bible is saying. He said, don't give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Don't steal to give. Don't borrow to give. Don't believe in it. If you want to borrow to give, sell your thing and give. Sell. The Bible said they sold their lands in the book of Acts. They sold their houses. So they gave according to what they had. But what marked it was eagerness. What kind of willingness and eagerness will lead somebody to sell his thing to give? That's what God blesses. Are you following the point? That willingness. That eagerness. That eagerness. The second attitude, for instance, that was accompanied with giving, I've already mentioned it, is cheerfulness. So, that's 9 verse 7. He said, God loves a cheerful giver. So, you've got to give cheerfully. Not the way you're giving and you're crying. Now, why are you cheerful? Why are you happy when you are parting with your money? You know why he's asking us to give cheerfully? Normally, nobody likes spending. If money is leaving your body, you are not happy. Naturally. That's why some women have to understand their husbands. You say, my husband doesn't always smile. What is funny? What is funny about every morning? Say, money for food, 25,000. He said, I've kept it. While he's still out there. He said, I forgot to tell you, they told these children to bring this one. He said, don't worry, I'll transfer it when I pack. Then he gets to work. Every moment that he comes back, before you bring food, the child comes and says, that not daddy. They say they will chase us home from school fees tomorrow if we don't pay our fees. He said, don't worry, it will be paid. You wonder why your daddy was not smiling. You will lose smile. Well, that's by the way, though. That's why we are teaching spirit-led parenting. I don't think you will frown in your face towards your children because you're spending money. I don't believe in that. I'm just trying to make it useful for your parents, but personally, get the point. I'm not the type that will spend money. It can come on you. The Bible teaches cheerful giving, where you deliberately wear the attitude of cheerfulness, even though you are parting with your money. Because once you begin to give grudgingly and not cheerful, it looks like the money is being It looks like God is stealing your, is forcing the money out of you. And God doesn't want to do that. So he said, if you ever think I'm forcing your money from me, please keep it. Are you following the point? Cheerfully. That's why when I see people complain on Facebook, pastors are taking people's money, tithing up and down, I always say to them, the real givers are not on Facebook talking. The real givers are giving cheerfully and happily. You that is, doesn't give nothing, you're complaining. You know, the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Romans 1, 2, 3, and 4, talks about the Macedonian church and how they were begging. Bible said they were in deep poverty. Put it up, NLT. Look at that. NLT, quickly. He said, they have been tested by many troubles and they are very poor. They are very what? But they are also filled with what? Abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. So they were richly generous with joy, but they were broke. You get the point? Now see the next verse. Verse 3 now. He said, for I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. So the apostle is praising their attitude. And even though they were broke, and they were giving even beyond what he felt they could afford, they were still joyful. They were still willing. Are you following the point? In fact, verse 4 tells us that they were the ones that pleaded to give. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift of the believers, of the believers in Jerusalem. So they begged. Sir, please. I can imagine Paul saying, you guys don't have it now. I know. They said, sir, please, I want to give more. They've given 10,000 before. I know your salary is 15,000. Please give it. He said, please, can I give more? I just sold my shoe. Can I give it? That eagerness. And I do it joyfully. So what God is appreciating and commending in that story is their attitude. Are you following to this point? That's what Sipsoin is. Sipsoin is giving me the right attitude. Cheerfulness. You give cheerfully. Of course, still in this tribe, and that's true, for instance, that you have to copy, that you must carry, is generosity. Generosity does not mean giving 10 billion naira. Generosity means giving big in proportion to what you have. So I can give 1,000 and I'm generous. So these guys in this chapter we just read, they were generous. I get to the point. Because even though they were poor, so I always explain this. Somebody can give 1,000 and the person is generous. Somebody can give 10 million and it's not generous. God is not looking at the size of the money. It's about the attitude. So even though you give 10 million, you're still not generous. Are you following me? So Bible seed sowing pays my attention to your attitude and not the size of what you brought. So Jesus said, that woman that gave that widow's mite gave the highest. Not because Jesus likes small things. But Bible says she gave. That's the only thing she had. So she gave 100%. Can you imagine that? 100%. So Jesus was comparing her gifts with other people's gifts. That's why I can say this to you. At the end of the day, this seed sowing and reaping and reward is up to God. But it's God that knows everybody's account, everybody's capacity. In church, we can celebrate people that gave 100 million. But with God, God is celebrating someone that gave 50,000. Because God knows how the person is doing. I can see the point. That person might have saved his 3 months salary to give. That person gave 100 million just by one deal that came that gave him 7 billion. He now gave 100 million. And the pastor is happy because, come on, 100 million is big. So you see, God doesn't reward like we do. His focus is on the attitude behind the giving and not the amount you are bringing. So as you are sowing seed, financial seed, make sure that you are sowing it with the right attitude. I follow him. Two things, like I said, the Lord watches in receiving seed. I said, number one is the attitude. Number two is the motive. That's what makes your seed authentic. My God, our time is spent. Okay, I'll just take 9 more minutes. Let's do like 20 more minutes. Let's hope. Or thereabouts. So which one do you want to go for? 21 minutes or thereabouts? But you're getting blessed, right? So there is an actual godness, then there is the motive too. For instance, that is how to sow. Let me talk about how to sow already. And I'll combine it to talking about motive. That is how to sow. First, the first way you sow your seed is you give in love for the Lord, for the minister, for the church, or for whatever you're giving to. Love should be the major motivation for your giving. That's why even though there is a blessing that comes with giving, that blessing cannot be your motivation for giving. If it is, you're already doing Ponzi scheme with God. The primary reason you are giving is, for instance, who do we follow as an example in giving? God. Who did God give? His son. Why did he give his son? Love. For God so loved the world that he gave. So he gave because of his love for us. Now, of course, God has something he gained from the death of Jesus. Are you aware? He gained you now. He gained the family. I get the point. But that wasn't the point. Was the love he had for us. That was the major thing that was motivating him. So when we talk about giving, that's why I said we don't copy giving from ATR. We don't say even in ATR they bring money. They give in ATR or traditional religion, not because they love the Ogugu. I get the point. They don't love nobody. Those that they say you must bring a ram. And they are bringing the ram. This Ogugu just want to destroy our lives. You know, idolatry is wicked. This is off my teaching, but just let me just see it. Idolatry is what? It's very wicked. That is a story that it doesn't concern this message, but I'm going to tell you. I just want to gist you. A man, now this thing happened in movies. I won't tell you where it happened, so you don't think my village is a bad village. But for real, a man, you know, they stole something from his house. And he looked for it, he didn't find it. According to him, he went around announcing to everybody. But what they stole were things related to cars. You get the point? But he didn't see it. So he goes to the oracle and tells the oracle to kill whoever, really after, give the oracle money to kill whoever stole that. But that's not the game. To kill the person, I know how these things are. When they kill, the family of the person has to come. If not, the oracle either will keep killing everybody in the family. So he said that the appeasement he wants from the family of the person is a brand new car, tear rubber. I didn't say Tokumbo, tear rubber, number one. Number two, that's a brand new car for himself. Number two, a brand new motorcycle for the chief priest. Number three, a big cow for the idol. That if this doesn't come, the idol should keep killing everyone in the lineage. Now look at the twist. After he did that, his own son came up and confessed that he was the one that stole it. Real life story, film. Now, watch out for part two. But real life talk, his own son came and said he stole it. Now the son has gone to the idol. So go and tell the idol, you cannot kill me. I took my father's sin, I didn't steal it. I get to the point. The man has gone back to the idol to go and appease. He went with ram. Anything he takes, the idol say no. The idol is the chief priest. The chief priest is the idol. I mean, no. And he's already thinking of his motorcycle and his cow.
Idolatry is wicked.
So the man must provide those things. That's not the kind of giving that we do in our faith. God doesn't say, you must give me this. Sow a seed of 1,000. If you don't give me 1,000, come bet if your life doesn't waste. What will it be like? So you now come under pressure. What is stopping me from moving forward is 1,000 naira. God doesn't do that. The major reason we give is love. That's love. We have for the Lord. First of all, if I give into the church, that love you have for his church, and I want this church to get better. I want this church to become fine. I want us to finish. I want one man to come here and be saved. That love you have, if you are giving to his minister, your pastor, you must give to your pastor because you love him, not because you want to help his life, or not because if you give him now, your life will change. The primary thing is, I love this man. He's a blessing to me. I'm going to give to him. That's the same way you give to your parents. That's why you don't give to your parents because they are good people. You give them because you love them. Because sometimes your parents can be annoying. But hey, that's still your parents. You must give to them. That's the difference between what we do and what they do out there. Because our motivation is love. Are you following me this evening at all? 2 Corinthians 9 verse 12. Before we get to that, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8. So 2 Kings. Me and Corinthians. 2 Kings 4 verse 8. We read about a woman. That woman that built a house for the prophet. So give me NLT so I can just get the flow. He said, one day, Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there. So this woman was wealthy. And you know, she didn't have any need. At least no financial need. And she urged him to come to her house for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. So Elisha kept going there to eat. Now, the woman was not asking. It's not, I will just give him small. I'm servicing the anointing. After I service the anointing, I will not say God. So I put her on. She just wanted the prophet to be fine. That's the reason to it. See the next verse. She said to her husband, I'm sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. That's an exotic room as I then. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by. Verse 11. Then one day, Elisha returned to Shunem. He went up to this upper room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, tell the woman from Shunem I want to speak with her. When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, tell her, we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Because Elisha was asking, where will go wrong for you? As in, I get anointing plenty. I have connection. Which one do you want? The woman said nothing. So, it was, of course, she reaped something from this though. Because she was barren. This is how she actually had the baby. But the motivation was not, I want a baby. Are you following what I'm talking about? He just loved for the prophet. So I just want to take care of this man. He said, what can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army? No, she replied, my family takes good care of me. May God give you your own things. Yeah, like I said, my family takes good care of me. Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, what can we do for her? Elisha was concerned. How can this woman be so good? And she doesn't want anything. Gehazi replied, she doesn't have a son. And her husband is an old man. Ah. Elisha now said, call her. He said, by this time next year. You can't doubt that the seed played a part. Because that seed was what motivated Elisha to even pray that prayer. Are you following the point? But you cannot say that she was giving to Elisha because she wanted Elisha to pray sharp, sharp. You know, that's why the Bible says that one of the major blessings of giving, if you really understand New Testament giving, is not even what happens to you. It is what happens to the other person. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12. Pull it up. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12. Just with NLT. Oh, yes. Okay, 9 verse 12, Father. Correct that to your notes. 9 verse 12. It says, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. What is the first one? The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. So Paul expects that you should be happy about that. Why should you be happy about that? Because your first motivation was that you love them. That's why you gave. So when their needs are met, you've reaped something. If I give it towards this building, for instance, Your first reward will be that will finish the building. I should excite you. I feel what I'm saying now. Because the reason you are giving is not because I want God to build my own house. Yes, that, I'm saying that there's something about giving and God giving to a project and God to build your own house. It happens. But that can't be your primary motivation. You see, this is why if you give out of love, whether in 2 weeks' time you bought a new house or you didn't buy anything, you are satisfied. Your greatest joy will be that I gave for a boss and they bought the boss. You get the point? That man didn't have a house. I gave him a house. He now has the house. That's the joy. So love for the Lord and for his work or for his people or whoever you are giving to. That's the first motivation. That's how to sow. So when I'm bringing my seed, I'm not bringing it because, you know, I've checked, oh, we don't have this. And if I just give this, God will just intervene. Yes, there's an intervention of God that comes with giving, which you're going to see very shortly. But that cannot be your motivation. You're not an idol worshiper. And God doesn't do, like, God doesn't do blood sacrifice. He said, what do you want? Say, I want this. Ah, I need ram. If it's not ram, I'm not doing. That's what they did in the occult too. See, what have money? Say, ah, sacrifice. You bring ram. Smarter than that, start bringing human being. That's not God. And that's what people have turned God to. The second way to sow is in obedience to God. Very key. So your first motivation for sowing is that you love God. Second motivation for sowing is that you are trying to obey God. Now, hear this. First of all, obedience to what is written in the word. And then obedience to the steerings and leadings of God in your heart. Now, people come to this church and they say, you people don't preach tithing. Why don't you preach tithing? Now, I have nothing against tithing or people who preach it. But look at why I don't put emphasis on 10%. I want God to lead your heart on the percentage you want to be given. Because that's how it works. There should be giving that is born out of obedience. Let me even add. You don't give because you are mimicking somebody. Or you are copying someone. He said, oh, he gave a car. And he started transport business. He said, I want to start selling coffin. So what will you give? A coffee. Who will you give it? which your prophet is your prophet? It's not copying someone. It's not copying someone. That's not how it works. It is what we do in response to an instruction because we are obeying the word. Now, hear this. What God blesses in giving, because that's the blessing that comes with giving, what God blesses is obedience to his word. Yes. Like I've shown you that in the Bible. Obedience to his word. We read in 1 Kings 17, for instance, how that woman gave her last flour, used it to make bread for Elijah, and she had abundance. But do you observe, that came as an instruction from God through the prophet. That thus says the Lord, give me this. See, if it was in the New Testament, that woman would have received that word in her spirit. I get the point. So, can someone actually give his salary? Yes. Can someone give his first fruit? Yes. And God does not accept that yet, but it must be in response to a leading in the heart. I can see the point. Can someone sell his land to give? You know what happened to Ananias was, he saw in Acts chapter 4 that Barnabas sold his lands and houses and gave, and the apostles named him son of consolation. That's the last verse of Acts chapter 4. Then in Acts chapter 5, the Bible said, but a certain man called Ananias. He wanted to be called son of consolation too. He said, let us sell. But you know, why it was hard for him to give everything? Because that thing wasn't born from the spirit. It was something his mind just calculated. Giving, that's why I normally tell you, whenever I want to give here, we'll say, just check the list. I'm not talking about God coming to your heart, to your ear to announce, my son, my son, my son. Because there are people that are very stupid. They say, why have you not given? They say, I've not been led. You cannot not be led. They say, but I have a leader. I don't know if it is God leading me. The devil can never lead you to give. Are you not aware? The devil doesn't need people to give. To give to God. No, he doesn't the devil. So don't hide under the canopy of, I've not been led. No. Every time we are giving in church, a member of church, God is leading your heart. Respond to that leading. Let your giving be born out of obedience to that. That's what we call sowing. Because God is God. Right? He's the one that determines what you can give to him. Oh, you're not following me this evening at all. Yes, he's God. That's why the Bible says that, I think it's 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, he said, each of you must propose in your heart what to give. That proposing in your heart is make up, find out what the Spirit of God is leading your heart to do. First, that is obedience to God's word. General instruction about giving. You should give. You know, it's an instruction in God's word. You must obey that. And also pay attention to those leadings that will come to your heart. So for real, can God lead someone to give some incredible things? Yes. I've told you guys, I've been saving for a project. And we are doing something in church here. And I was praying about, say, Father, we receive supply. The Lord said, receive supply. What of the money in your account? I said, Lord, that one is what I want you to do. Because I was saving to buy a car. To change my car then. I get to the point. I said, Lord, you know that one is for the car. He said, give it. It wasn't that hard. Because it was spirit inspired. So I just, well, cleared everything and just gave. To start with, the money I've saved by that was not even enough for the car. So if I keep it, I'll still not buy the car. So I just moved it. What followed that was amazing. But you're not going to hear that and say, I'm going to start every time I save, I'll close it down. I've closed down my account more than 10 times in this lifetime. All of them based on instructions. Like, when I mean close, I mean go from millions to zero, everything. Yes. Based on instruction. It's not an attempt to copy someone. I get what I'm saying now. It's about instructions. And some of it, if God has never led you to do, give you, to give in your life, you're not hearing God. If God leads you, you lead you to give. I'm telling you plainly. He said, man, I like myself. It's the only pastor that God is led to do. God doesn't lead me. I know he leads me. So some people, the only prayer is about their destiny helper. How about God telling you one day you are somebody's destiny helper? How about God pointing out somebody in church and say, I want you to be on that brother until he stands financially. Give him back to until he stands financially. Say, how can God tell me that? How's God know me? Does he know where I'm coming from? Let me tell you why giving has a reward. Why you give and receive is what I'm telling you. Because what you are doing is an instruction from God. He will supply what you need through the instruction. You are obeying. It's in response to an instruction. So you give in obedience. In obedience. So what God actually blesses is that obedience and not the size of the money. Which is why if God says you should give 10 million and you give 6 million, we might be excited and clap for you, but you've not done what God said you should do. Yes. I get what I'm saying now. I'm not telling you the truth. You've not done what God said you should do. Now, I may not, you know, because I wasn't there in your heart when you started it with the Lord. What I'd rather do is, if God tells you to give 100 million, and I give up to 30, and then I don't have 70 again, I'll go back to him and say, Father, I want to do this. Provide. If you provide, I'll do it. I release my faith. Once it comes, the more it comes, I'll keep giving it until I'm done. It's the obedience. The fact that God gave you an instruction and you obeyed it. Now, that is real sowing. And many of you, you are in your seed time. When God will lead you to sow a lot of seed. Respond to it. Now, can God tell you that you are going to do this and when you give this, I'm going to do this for you? Yes, God can talk like that. spoke and tell you this, do this giveaway, do this, I'm going to change this. Now, it's not something you go up and down preaching to people and say, anytime you want this to happen, do this. But what can give you as a personal instruction? And I've enjoyed a lot of that in my own life. I've had the Lord tell me in a meeting, he said, give. Because, remember that story. I didn't have money. And this man of God was selling something, was selling his sticker. For an amount, I felt it was ridiculous. I said, what's going on? What are they selling? In my mind, though, I was selling how much? I know how much they need to print this thing. I'm selling. So why are you trying to see? And the Lord told me very clearly that they said, give to his ministry. I will steer men to give to yours too. And what I gave that day was my transport for everything. I trekked home from that meeting. My transport for everything I could have that was on me, everything. I didn't like the sticker. But I put it behind my Bible so that every time I look at it, I remember the day the Lord dealt with me. I remember that I was trekking home. I was happy, singing, cheerful. Do you know this that I'm talking about happened before I even gained the admission to enter school? It was not until some years ago that the Lord reminded me of that incident. Yes. When my spiritual father's church and they're just really building their church. And then he said, they wanted to do some upgrade, some things in the church. Because you know, once you are in a church when during their building season, giving now water. Sure, you know. Before they said, I want to plaster. They want to, that day, I think, what did they want to do? Then they wanted to do some Christmas decoration. He said, it's a Christmas decoration. Now, it was very expensive. It was not like about 1 or 2 million or so. Christmas decoration. So I said, what should you give? I said, anybody that wants to give, should give. So, me, before I go for Christian meetings, I have a principle. If I go to any Christian meeting, like you came for this, I always set out, this is my own personal discipline. I set out the amount I use to honor the man of God when I go for Christian meetings. I do it in every meeting I go to. God bear me witness. I know that my wife bear me witness. She will tell you. If I go for any Christian meeting, I'll set out the amount. So I've already set out the amount I use to honor the man of God. So when he said, come and give to us, I say, well, God knows my giving knows that I don't have it. And I was just standing there. The Lord said, my boy. You know, he doesn't have to call your name. We will just feel that nudge. We just get uncomfortable. Does it happen to you now? And I was trying to say, Father, if it is that money in that account you are looking at, come on your iPhone. can you relate to what I'm talking about? Say, Father, because if I go home from this trip, that's the only thing we have to eat. So stop looking at it. So I stood there for some time. So I was wishing he would just round up and say, okay, we are done. He kept saying, some of you are still coming out. I said, sir, round up. And I yielded that instruction and I went out there. While I was standing there, the Lord said to me, he said, from now, I've opened the heart of men to give big towards your ministry. He said, from now, you begin to have your own things as a ministry. That was the year we installed our AC without stress. That was the year we upgraded our sound. I didn't even announce that. Somebody just got the money and did it and kept. I even shouted at the person for doing it. For not telling for the person did it. That was the year, everything. That was the year. Now, 2 years after that, we are here. I get to the point. So there are such things. And I'm not now going to say to any minister that if you want God to actually, for people to give to your ministry, big secret. Okay, to spiritual father, anytime they are doing Christmas decoration, emphasis on Christmas decoration. Well, there is something about Christmas. C stands for, H stands for, you can make any crazy doctrine for me. That's not how it works. It is the obedience that God rewards. So, part of how you plan for, as your year is starting, ask yourself things like, how much is God leading me to give as my offering throughout this year? How much is going to be my partnership this year? Let it be something led from this. You get the point? Want to do a project. How much is God leading my heart to give? Is that obedience that God rewards? Amen. Tomorrow I will talk about the kind of harvest to expect when you give. But let me say one last thing for today. Last way, in my note, I have to sow. Sow in faith and in trust. That's the number one. Do your giving in love because you love the Lord. Do it because you obey His word. And do it because you are trusting Him in faith. Because again, what brings results is faith, not money. God honors faith, doesn't honor. But that's what I always teach you. I'll talk about that tomorrow. I always teach you, when you give, you should talk. You should speak the word. You should release your faith. Because what God honors is the faith. Now, how is giving and faith connected? I'll show you simply. You should give in faith and trust, believing that God can and God will supply more. So why can I confidently, why will I confidently give God the last 1 million in my account? Because I know that He can supply more. I can take the point. Let that be your motivation when you give. So three things. I love the Lord. I love His work. I love His minister. Two, I'm giving in response to His instruction. I'm obeying Him. Three, I know He can and He will supply more. You know, in 1 Timothy 6 verse 17, Paul told them, he said, charge them that are rich in this world. I always teach from this scripture, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. So he was telling them not to trust in uncertain riches. Where should they trust? In the living God. Who giveth us what? Richly all things. So he said they should trust in God. So how will those that are rich show that they trust God? See the next verse. That they do good. That they be rich in good works. That they be ready to distribute. They be willing to communicate. So how they will show that they trust God and not in their riches is that they give the money. Are you following me? So if you are keeping the money, you're actually not in faith. You're saying, how am I sure that if I give this, another one will come? So let them be rich in good works. That's how they will show they're not trusting the money, they're trusting God. So why will I confidently, can I give God every, you know, I don't know what you think is my most valuable thing. I can give it out. God leaves me to do it, I will do it. Anything. I mean, if we finish building this church building to the last, and the Lord points the church to him and say, hand it over to them, and God stay in the apartment, I will do it willingly. He says, yes. Why? If it is his instruction, I will obey it. And I'm giving it the confidence to obey, because I know that the God that brought this one can bring 20 of it. Now, that's the confidence. Now, if you say you believe he can, why is it hard to obey when he asks you to give? He means you don't really believe that he can. Are you following me tonight?
Yes.
You're planning to buy a car. You're saving the money. And the Lord says, see that brother there? Buy for him first. He said, do you know how long it took me to save this money, Lord? It took me about 6 years to save this money. So which brother? Where is the brother? Why will you be able to give out that kind of thing? Because you trust that he that brought that one can bring the next one even faster. So when we give from the point of faith and trust in God, there is no fear. And God rewards faith. God honors faith. So God's response to faith, your giving should simply be an expression of faith in God's provision. I trust that God provides. How do you know that? Because if he asks you to part with anything, I can part with it knowing that he will bring it back. And even give me more than that. And that's why there's nothing we can part. That's how we sow. So you see why giving has receiving. You see why sowing has reaping. Not because God is doing Ponzi scheme and he's saying, if you give me 10,000, I'll give 100,000. That's not why. It's because you are giving in response to God's word and you are giving in faith. So God now responds to your faith and your obedience. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And give him faith. So, but I'll talk to you about the kind of harvest that you can expect when you give. And I'll talk to you about how to nurture your seed when you sow it, that giving seed. And we'll look at things around the ministry of giving. Because, you know, giving can be a ministry. Are you aware? That's a special ministry of giving. Sister, so if I don't have it, I shouldn't give. Well, no. That is the ministry of a prophet. But doesn't mean every believer should not prophesy. And every believer is even taught to convert to prophesy. I'll talk about that tomorrow. So you can actually convert to fluent. I mean, that's the ministry of giving. It's very clear in God's word. That's what some people call kingdom financiers and all of that. I'll bring perspective to that word tomorrow. But some people's idea of kingdom financiers is don't go to church, don't serve in church, don't do evangelism. Want to see money on my own is to be sending my money to sponsor the work. That's not kingdom financier. That is irresponsibility in your work with God. Are you getting the point here now? But I'm telling you, as you do your giving, give in faith. God will always supply. How many of you are believing God for big things this year? Big supplies this year. You know, one of the ways, one of the easiest, one of the confidence I have in God's supply when I give. I will look at that tomorrow when I'm teaching you about what to expect when you give. One of the things that God rewards the giver with is more generosity. Now that's scary, but that's encouraging. What it means that if you give 1 million, the chances are by next week, God's going to ask you to give 5 million. I'm going to show you in the Bible. The chances are when you give 5 million, I give you less than 2 weeks. He's talking about giving 10 million. Should that scare you? No, that should encourage you. If he's going to lead you to give 10 million, it means he's going to give you that 10 million. God is committed to the giver. Not because he hates other people, because he knows that when he passes money through the giver, it will get where he's sending it to. Just understand what I explain to you now. Let me explain it to you. I've always done this. If a brother here is praying and asking God for 5 million naira, say, Lord, I need 5 million naira. I need as capital for my business. And then God promises him and says, I'm going to do it. And he says, hallelujah. Then he takes what he thought in the morning. He's nurturing the seed. He's confessing it. He's, you know, in all those thoughts. Now, God has planned that he will send that money through somebody. So what he will do is, he puts that money in somebody's hand. And that tells the person, go and give it to that brother. Are you following the point? If the person says, give it to which brother? Let me eat first. God wouldn't kill him. God wouldn't fight him. But he has shown God, I am not someone you can pass money through. I feel what I'm saying. I'm not someone, if you're looking for how money will get to another person, don't use me for it. So what God will just do, he will give him what he needs to be fine, because God is committed to you. I follow the point. He will give you your own supply. That's why when people say if you don't give, you'll be broke. It's not entirely very correct. But if you're not a giver, you will, no, wait, but when you're a giver rather, you will have more than enough, because God knows that when he passes it through you, it will get where he's sending it to. So when that brother responds and says, okay, 5 million naira, even though what I just have is 5.8, so I'll just give 5 million, it's very strong in my spirit, and he does it. The other guy says, ah, thank God that you are God sent to me. That's what I'm going to say to you. People give you things. Don't think that giving you things because they have all. Sometimes they just give you because God led them. Sometimes they give you their last. However, give you somebody your last here. And the person that can give somebody your last, and the person is even angry, that is small. My last is small. So when the person now says, okay, Lord, is that what I want me to do? Okay, if I'm going to pass the money, he gives to the person. Guy is happy. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the next supply coming for that brother is going to be more than 20 million. Do you know why? God has three other people in mind that he wants him to give. I get the point. God has, that's why we'll get to the ministry of giving. People who flow in that ministry are always very wealthy. Because God uses them as distribution channel. I follow what I'm talking about. So he knows that when he brings it to them. That's why when I was teaching on the anointing, that is the believer's anointing all of us have. I can speak in tongues. I can declare God's word and I get healed. If you are not involved in ministry, there are some kind of graces that God will never give you. Because you will not need it. God doesn't waste his things. So he will just give you what you need for your own life to be fine. One of the easiest ways to see the grace of God manifest in your life is to get busy with an assignment. If you get busy with an assignment, God will supply so much because you need it. Some of you that are in Enugu state here, you might live all your life and never be able to disappear and appear elsewhere. Not because God cannot do it, but because you don't need it. But as a place you go for missions where they are killing people per minute and per second, God will have to put that grace upon you. I know what I'm talking about. Because you now need it. That's the same thing about giving. So if you are not someone that God can pass through, God will not say you'll be broke. That one is not true. He will not look at it and say, from now I'll make you broke. God doesn't do that. God loves his children. We don't need to give him for him to give us. But when you make yourself a channel through which he can get, so pastor comes and announces, maybe I've been praying in the room, in the name of Jesus, Father, tomorrow in the service, as we do this giving, I do this all the time, I'm releasing faith that we're going to get 5 million naira from this giving to be able to finish this project in Jesus' name and all of that. Then I come to you and I announce, we need 5 million naira to do this. And God comes to you and says, brother, that 3 million in your account, bring it out. You say, no. He won't kill you. That's the point. That's where people take that teaching to an extreme. He says, if you don't sow, what do they say? You sow up to grow up. If you don't sow up, you will not grow up. If you don't tithe, your life will be tight. All those things are just manipulative talks. So God will not kill you. God will not say, so I told you to give 3 million. Yeah, shame that you have sense. Come back in with your neighbors. You know, a verse of this crazy teaching is where people say that if you do not give your tithe, you will give it to a mechanic. Have you heard that? That if you don't give your tithe, God will make sure that your car spoils. So that tithe you refuse to give to church, you can't spend it in a mechanic. If you don't give your tithe, you give it to a doctor. He will make sure you fall sick so they can give it to a doctor. These are nonsense. You know what I said? Nonsense. I'm forgiving. I'm preaching giving tonight, are we? But I'm still telling you, you can't take it on the stream. Are you following me now? So what's going to happen? If you don't want to give 3 million, fine. God is committed to you. When you pray for supply, he'll give you the supply. But he'll give you the supply at the level that you need to be fine. Your family will be fine. But then there's another brother that he will make sure that he has more than enough. I'll show you this thing I'm talking about clearly in the Bible. He will make sure he has more than enough so that when the church has a need, he can come in. Because he knows that brother will always come in. And there is a need. That's why if you're here and you're a giver, trust God for more, there'll be much more. I said there'll be much more. Let me read the scripture for you, then we close tonight. Have you been blessed? Oh, thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Thank you, Lord. From verse 7 with NLT. Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus, Most High, the God.
Most High, ruler of the earth.
Mada Shunda Rakati Akadiana.
Most High, King of Nations.
Sing it one more time. Say most time.
God of heaven,
Most High,
Most High,
yes,
ruler of the earth,
say Most High,
Most High, He keep the nation, hallelujah.
This is what we're going to give big. Yeah, we're going to give big. We're going to sow heavy seeds. You know, we declare that all the time. He's bringing it to our hands. Big. Even what? Great, big, hooper, chunk seeds. Look at that conversion. We receive them and we sow them where it shows. And what do we see? Great harvest. Look at that. They said you must eat the sign. You must eat the sign in your heart. I've tried to close you somewhere. This is tomorrow's talk, but I just feel I should close you somewhere. Because I'm not done at all. You must eat the sign in your heart what you have to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves who? A cheerful giver. Now verse 8. And God will generously provide all you need. I'm telling you, the commitment God has to cheerful givers. Similarly, he said, God loves a cheerful giver. He now said he will generously provide all you need. Why? Watch this. Then you will always have everything you need. And what? Plenty left over. For what reason? So you see why God gives to givers? Because through them, he can pass it to others. What I just explained to you, and that's what I'm showing you in the Bible. So when you keep yourself to this stuff, you find out that God has always supplied. So that is the idea of sowing and reaping, giving and receiving, not because God is doing a Ponzi scheme. So is there a blessing for givers? Yes, I'm showing you already. So as you're giving this, you give the right motive, have the right attitude, and I tell you to apply, we come. This year, we are breaking forth financially. We are breaking forth financially. The increase of God is upon us. That increase that God brings, we have it and we enjoy it. And as many as have willing hearts, may your hands never lack to do that which your heart is willing to do. In the name of Jesus, you will always have. You will always have. Please look at me. If you are committed to giving to God's project, always learn to fight the devil from your finances. Let me tell you why. Because when you are committed to God's project, giving to God's project, your financial prosperity is now a threat to the devil. Think about that. Because he knows that if I give this guy more money, he will sponsor that crusade. He will sponsor that crusade. If I allow him to have more money. So, because he knows that if money passes through you, more men will be saved. So, his attack against your finances will be so special. Because he knows that money in your hands means more than what it means to other people. Money in your hands means kingdom advancement. Are you following the point? So learn to say this ahead from Brother Hagin. Learn to ask the devil, take your hands off my finances. Yes. Learn to do that. You foul devil interfering with my business. Pray that prayer all over the place. If you feel any satanic interruption, interference in your finances, take authority. I spend that anointing, open up in this place. So if you be finding that battle in your studies, in your business, in your career, in your finances, take that authority now. Take that authority now. You foul devil. You have no rights to interfere. Pray seriously. Pray seriously. But I just did some diagnosis for some of you just now. That's why every time a church goes big on projects, you will find that attack launched against the finances of the members. Because he knows that they will be the channel. So take that authority and shut that devil out of your finances. Pray. That thing that has stopped the contracts from flowing, shut him out. That thing that has affected those flows, shut him out. Everything that has blocked those flows, shut him out. Now the flow will open up. Pray. Shandara baba kobo borobe shuteya. Zakakaka baba baba raba baba tika baratia. Shombro de kekembra teyash. Pray. You foul devil interfering with the finance of God's people. Take your hands off. Your operation has come to an end. You can operate there no longer. We bring an end to that oppression. From now, there will be a free flow. There will be a free flow. There will be a free flow. That interference of the devil over your business, over your career, over your job, over the contrast is coming to an end now. Pray like that. This year we are breaking forth on the left and on the right. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray.
That interference of the devil over your business, over your affairs, over your finances has now come to an end. There are many of you that carry a heavy heart of generosity. You see people you wish you can do things for them. But then every time it looks like you're limited by funds, it will no longer be the case. From now, by the intervention of God and by the workings of ministering spirits, you will always have more than enough. You will always have more than enough. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Supply has come. You are breaking forth in your finances. You are breaking forth on the left and on the right. You are spreading very quickly. It's going to be a breaking forth. So much so that as the Lord promised us, people will look at you and say, only the finger of God would have done this. The Lord has blessed you. Increase has come. And so the Lord told us 970. And we reaffirm those words. 970. That will be our mark this year. That if we go from now to 970, much more of what God has given you. In the name of Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you receive that? Can we celebrate all over this place? Now, do you see why we say that when you give, you should speak? Because once you make yourself a giver, especially a giver to God's project, you've made yourself someone that the devil will fight his finances. So if you are a giver, you don't pray over your finances, you don't speak over your finances, you always have struggles. I'm telling you why. Because Satan actually hates you. He hates the fact that with you, more souls are getting, we are printing more tracts. With you, we are producing more Bibles. So you should expect those challenges. So every time you give, follow it with your voice. Because at that level where you give for the work of God, giving becomes spiritual warfare. Because of giving, we accomplish more. I get the point. So money can mean something in one person's hand and mean something else in another person's hand. For the man committed to giving, money is a threat to the devil. Not many people find that they have ancestral causes. $10 million can break the curse. You know what I'm saying, right? So somebody might be crying, I have ancestral causes, and God just tell you, see it. And give them 10 million. So you can, with money, end the operation of the devil in people's life totally. So he knows that you, but what you have is. So every other person, it is 10 million. But he will tell his demons, guy, if that money enters that hand, it will not be ordinary 10 million. Or that thing will do a lot.
That's why when we started this building project, I was telling mom about this. I observed that people's finances. If a lot of people go to complain, I laughed. So there were many nights I was up praying, not for the church, for the but for you. Because I know that's the game. I've observed it. Every time we just go like that, he just picks those people he knows that they are the channels. I get to the point. And they begin to fight themselves. I'm teaching you something. When you give, let your prayer follow your words. So, but I can say that every time you give, make sure you begin to speak. So that angels will be walking with the words you're speaking. And once angels are working with the words you're speaking, Satan has nothing to work with. You know, one of the easiest things Satan works with in your life, should I tell you? Passivity and silence. Once you are passive and not doing anything, allowing the devil to work. The Bible did not say ignore the devil, it says resist the devil. So if you ignore him, you give him something to work with.
Say, I'm not going to pray all this. Said, I'm just there. You're just fine. He likes it. So don't get passive. Release your words. And let your words come back with results. This year is for abundance. This year is for much more. Right? This year is for the blessing. Spreading forth on the left and on the right. And the zeal of the Lord will perform it. Do you believe that? Were you blessed today?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.